This is CliffCentral.com.
Adrian Groenewald here and Louis Groenewald with me in the studio, Leadership in Education, the last half hour of our three-hour leadership transformation platform. So to all principals out there, you are fabulous. We love what you're doing. We respect what you're trying to do. We respect the fact that you're influencing the future generations of this country. We hope that every single day when you walk into that school, you sense the importance of your job. That you feel it, you don't just understand it in your mind, that you realize your first profession is leadership, and that you try every day to be a better leader, not just a better principal. So it's great to be with you in the studio with me, as I said, Louis Groenewald, and then Barbara Dale Jones, CEO of Bridge Project. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Adrian. Good to be here.
Yeah, you better come back every now and then, because Simongile is pretty awesome. And it's great to have also come in here with us in the studio. Barbara, anything on the education front before we look at corruption in schools? We spoke about ethical leadership in schools the last week or two, and I think it's very relevant to now go to a specific report, which we'll talk about in a moment. Maybe very quickly, we've got Ronald Lucky Menwe in the studio from Corruption Watch. Just welcome.
Thank you so much.
That you feel welcome. We've introduced you. It's great to have you with us.
Great.
And what an important topic we're going to address now. First, anything on the education front?
Well, I think the thing that's dominating the education front at the moment is the same thing that relates to our discussion today, and that's the Jobs for Cash report, which has come out in the last week. There were a number of leaks of this report, and it's now in the public domain, and it's the report that's done by Professor John Volmink and his team. At the behest of the minister that's looking at the appointment of principals and teachers in schools in South Africa, and there's some very worrying findings and very concerning situation in several of the provinces in South Africa. So,
do we want John Volmink on the show?
I think it would be great to get John Volmink on the show.
I've met him before. Maybe we can get him on and just get a different angle from there.
And I think it would be great to also have engagement with SATU on the show and give them an opportunity to talk about how they as a teacher union are seeing this report and how they're engaging with it. But I think it foregrounds some of the issues that Ronald's going to be talking about today. Mm. We're struggling in this country with the way in which appointments are made, the way in which schools are led, and the ethics of management.
Yeah.
So the ethical leadership focus last week is a very good lead in.
Excellent. All right, Ronald, thank you for being here. I'm hearing about this corruption report in schools. Give us some context. What is this? Why was it initiated? What process did you follow? And then just a little bit more insight into the specific report. All the gremlins in there, all the bad news, and we can talk about how do we deal with it maybe.
Thank you so much. Basically, Corruption Watch is an NGO that is tasked with exposing and fighting corruption in South Africa. We depend on the public to report the experience of corruption to us. So when we started in 2012, we let South Africans just report anything. To our surprise,
you only started in 2012. It feels like you've been around longer.
It's only 3 to 4 years now, yeah.
Okay.
And to our surprise, people reported about corruption in schools, which we were never aware of ourselves, because most people are talking about corruption in the police, traffic officers, in local government, but quite a substantive number of people was reporting about corruption in schools.
Okay.
So the model that we use, we look at what people are reporting to us, and we develop campaigns. Because people are reporting about corruption in schools, we developed a campaign that focuses specifically on that. And when we started, people are reporting about theft of funds.
So when you say campaign, you mean it's a method, a strategy to get people to talk about it more,
people
to expose it more.
To expose it more, and then we develop intervention strategies as an organization.
Okay, so that's what we're interested in. Yeah, good.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, people are reporting about thefts of funds, where in most cases you find the school principal changing the signatories, because the treasurer is refusing to cooperate with them.
Is this what was reported to you before you started your study?
This
is general. Then you tell us about the study.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
There's a lot of financial mismanagement as well, where there's no accountability at all from school principals. Theft of goods. We had a lot of people reporting about the National Nutrition Program, where learners in Quintile 1 school, no-fee schools, are supposed to eat at school. The food never reached the learner, or the quality of the food that reached the learner is not up to standard. Tender corruption, small businesses in school where you fix windows, leaking roofs. The businesses are being given to family and friends, but also appointments. It also came up. So there's a long list of types of corruption that have been reported to us.
So that concerned you enough to go and do a study, a proper study on it?
Exactly. Mm. And what we do with this information that has been reported to us is we take it through different remedial processes. We have limited investigative capacity in-house, mm. where we investigate some of these cases just to see if the allegations are true. And in most cases, what we do what we call advocacy work.
Yes.
So what we do there is we approach the Department of Basic Education at a provincial level, and we say to them, look, here are the trends and the hot spots of corruption in this particular province.
Okay.
And then these are our findings, and these are the recommendations that we're coming with on how to curb corruption in schools. It doesn't stop there. So what we will do, one thing that we identified as an intervention strategy is that we realize that actually people who are being elected to serve on the school governing boards don't understand their roles and responsibilities.
Yeah.
Sometimes if they do, they are scared to question the school principal. We've got a situation where we've got school treasurer signing blank checks in most schools, and that is a recipe for disaster, because then the school principal can just put his signature and the amount that he wants to withdraw from the school account, and the money is not accounted for. So that is how we started the campaign.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more about your findings. Is that the right question? So these were all allegations, lots of things being reported,
mm-hmm.
and then you've gone into a more extensive process of understanding the facts and the reality.
Yes, our findings take us to a point where we had to question the importance of school governing bodies, and then we engaged with different stakeholders to say they were established in 1994 with the purpose of giving parents a voice in the management of schools. Are they still relevant? Are they being run the right way?
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of discussions with different stakeholders on that, but we have reached a point that actually they are the right way to go. We need school governing bodies because they give parents a voice to air their views, but also to participate in the management of schools. The problem is that there's always a thin line between a school principal and a school governing body who's in charge. And then we're seeing a lot of fight when it comes to that. But also, every 3 years, school governing boards are being elected. We found out that most parents who have children in schools don't participate in this process. So you find that people who are serving on the board are normally the school principal's friend or people who are just active in the community. So most parents don't participate in it. So last year in March, it was the elections, and then we were on a drive to encourage parents to participate, the fit and proper person to serve on the school governing board who will have the interest of a learner than enriching themselves. But also, once they are elected, the issue is what kind of training do you give to them? Because for a school in Rivonia as opposed to a school in Limpopo, in Makado, it's totally different. You find that people who are serving in the school governing body do not have the skills, financial management.
No, there's no chartered accountant in that community.
Exactly.
A parent who's had the privilege of studying somewhere. So how do you really run the finances when you don't? But when you go to Rivonia or to Centurion, and you always have a parent who's an expert in finances or running buildings or maintaining the buildings. That you probably find in a lot of communities because you've got people who understand those issues.
Mm.
But the buildings are also limited. You know, they don't have lovely big halls. And all right, but and not just to be negative, and Barbara, you can come in now, but I'd just give us a feeling from your perspective, of course, and if we had Lesufi in here or MECs, they might give a different perspective. But from your perspective, how rife is corruption in schools? Just give us a very realistic contextual feel for it so that we don't, after the last 10 minutes, want to cut our wrists or take our kids into homeschooling, or so just give us a perspective, a realistic one.
Well, let me start by acknowledging that there are school principals who are doing a good job out there.
Oh, yeah, and we've made them, yeah.
And then we're celebrating them. Mm. There are school governing boards that are doing amazing work, and then we want them to help us empower those that are not able to achieve what
they're supposed to. That's the twinning principle as well, isn't it? The twinning schools together so that they can help with these things.
Exactly. But the situation out there is that before Corruption Watch focused on this particular campaign, this was not spoken about. As much as people were aware that there is corruption in schools, there was never a platform for them to engage with the issue. So when we launched the campaign, we saw the interest from the public because now they saw us as an alternative for them to report issues of corruption. I mean, we've got teachers who are telling us that, you know what, the principal is mismanaging the funds. We've been aware of this for the past 5 years. We've reported with the district office for the past 5 years. Nothing has been done. So we are coming to you as our last resort. Mm. So it has been there. It's rife. In terms of numbers, so far, I mean, when we started the campaign, we started with 60 reports of corruption in schools. We are at about 1,500 reports of corruption in schools. And we still want more because we believe that the more reports of corruption that we receive, the bigger the voice we have as an organization to go to the Ministry of Education and say to them, look, these are the trends, these are the hotspots, this is how it happens, this is the findings, please look at how you can fix this in schools. But we want to have that conversation with them, and that we don't only want to point fingers, we want to work with them, but also look, go to parents and say, parents, you've got a role to play here. There are a lot of things that you could be participating in. Know what is a parents meeting, know what is an annual general meeting. When you go there and they present an annual general meeting, they present an audited financial statement. How does it look like? Mm. What should be in there? How should you budget for your school? Because if the parents don't have that skill and the tool, then they can just go to a meeting and they will take anything that has been presented to them.
Okay. Barbara?
I just want to mention, the more complaints you get, the more you're able to map out the tendencies and therefore put formal pressure on the government departments as well. That makes sense.
Precisely.
So if you receive, say, a whole series of complaints in a certain specific area, then it's difficult for them not to respond.
Precisely. Okay.
The role of parents in schooling cannot be overstated. Mm. It's absolutely vital. The South African Schools Act makes provision for a governance which involves parents in the community, and that's in fact the whole idea around the structure of schools in the modern South Africa. But the reality is that some of the historical iniquities of our system have been reinforced, if you like, by this very provision, in the sense that it's easy with schools from more affluent areas where the parents are professionals, for parents to be playing an active role in the school. But it's often not so active a role that's played by parents in less advantaged areas. So developing the capacity of parents to co-govern as part of the management and leadership of schools is absolutely vital. And you asked, you know, well, therefore you need training. What kind of training?
Exactly.
I thought it'd be worth mentioning that the German Development Agency, GIZ, has recently developed open educational resources, training materials that they developed for the Eastern Cape Department of Education, that are training materials which are aimed to ensure greater integrity in the management of schools, and they are directed at SGBs, directed at parents, directed at trying to help those members of an SGB who come from the parent and the community, from the parent body and the community, to know about integrity management and to understand the requirements around ethical leadership. So, Adrian, just as much as we need to capacitate principals to know how to engage parents, we need to capacitate parents to know how to engage with this particular component of school management and leadership.
Okay. Ronald, your comments on that?
Well, that is very important for us as well. What we've done is, because this is not our core business, our core business is anti-corruption issues, we have started a forum, which is where I met Rich at. So it's a stakeholder dialogue where on a quarterly basis I invite different role players in the education sector, including the Department of Basic Education. And we sit down, we theme each and every term, and then we talk about issues of integrity, accountability, and responsibility in managing the funds that has been transferred to the school. And what we're doing now, which we, with the open data that Barbara is talking about, I've started implementing that in Klerksdorp area in the northwest, where I take the SGBs over a four-part series of capacity building, but with the aim of introducing what we call social audits and monitoring to them, so that they can go to school during break and say, learners are eating lunchtime. What are they eating? If we don't tell them what the policy says, that on a plate of a child, it must be starch, protein, carbohydrate, or whatever, and a fruit, they wouldn't know. If children are eating peanut butter and bread every day, they just get happy. But the policy allocates a certain fund for this particular program, and parents should know that, and they should monitor if that is happening. Simple things like that, so that when they go to these parents' meetings and AGMs, now they know how what is expected of the school.
Barbara, who's actually responsible for training the parents?
Well, the provincial departments of education have a responsibility in this regard. So in Gauteng, for example, you'd have SGB training that's carried out by the Matthew Ganiwe Institute for Leadership and Governance. But, you know, I think ongoing capacity building of SGBs is important. Ongoing engagement with parents is important. They're a key lever in solving this problem. I think one of the messages that that Ronald's giving us today is the message that we need to work together in this. Mm. So, Ronald, I want to ask a question to you. If there's somebody out there listening to this and they think, well, I'd like to tell Corruption Watch about something that I'm aware of, but I don't want to be victimized, can you just walk us through how that works at Corruption Watch and how they can be ensured that they can tell you something in safety?
So that's the big thing, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I know something's wrong, but my kid is in the school.
Mm. Yep.
Two kids, in fact, and I really can't afford to impact their lives.
Exactly. Victimization of whistleblowers doesn't only affect the person who reports corruption, which in this case is a parent. We have parents who are saying, because I've reported corruption against the school principal or a teacher, my child has been repeating grade 7 for the past 4 years.
Oh,
so
really?
That is victimization. So we have 10 reporting channels at Corruption Watch. We try to make it easy, and the three easy ones is the call center, where you can just call and anonymously make a report of corruption. We always encourage people who report to leave their contact details, because if we're going to investigate and we need more information, we can get in touch with you. But that doesn't mean we'll make your information public for public consumption. We've got a WhatsApp number, which anyone can just send us a WhatsApp and say there's corruption in this particular school. If we need more information, because it's a cell number, we're able to call you back or have a WhatsApp conversation with you. There's a please call me service. You just send a please call me to a number, and then the people from the call center call you back, speak in your language, and then they explain to you the process, and then we take it from there.
And a good principal would welcome this, right?
Exactly.
As long as he or she's not involved in it, yeah. But let's just understand a little bit more detail. So I've called. I say to you, what is your level of power to act based on a hunch?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the school. I am on the governing body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not on the finance committee of the governing body.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, there are some really funny things happening here. That's all I'm saying.
Well, the more information we get, the better. But in situations like that, what we do is, as I said at the beginning, we've got limited investigative capacity. So we've got forensic investigators in the office and lawyers who can go out and fire and get more information from this particular person who've reported. Because if we've got a campaign focusing on schools corruption, what we do is we channel a lot of investigations towards that. You will see, I'll leave a copy of this loss of principle booklet with you. It's focusing on 10 investigations that were conducted by Corruption Watch, I think 7 of them in Gauteng and 3 of them in the KZN. So we will use that muscle that we have to verify that information, because most reports that we get are just allegations, and up until proven, they are not corrupt.
You might find what? Half of them or more are not in the end factual.
True. I mean, it happens in so many different ways.
Or maybe I have a grudge, so yeah, I just want to...
Exactly.
Whatever my motive is. But
bad faith. In most cases, you find that... This Barbara has been an acting HOD for science in this particular school for the past 6 months, and then she doesn't get a position. Ronald gets a position. Then because I'm upset, I report that Barbara is involved in corruption. That's how we get a lot of corruption
cases. Okay, so what else are we doing on this front to curb this practice? And what can a good principal do to make sure it doesn't happen? I think we've mentioned some of it today, but what initiatives are happening out there to improve it?
Well, Corruption Watch by itself won't win the battle, but we want to hold hands with everyone who is in the sphere of fighting corruption, including the basic Department of Education, because they've got the capacity, they've got the money, they've got the resources to do this. But it's just that they do not provide regular feedback to the whistleblowers, and they run out of patience, and they will go to the public protector, come to Corruption Watch, call the presidential hotline. So you find that one report has been reported 10 times. So what happens is that people run out of patience. But what we're doing as an organization is that we don't only want to identify the problem. We also want to be part of coming up with a solution. Soon they'll be making an opening for submissions on the South African schools bill. And we want to make submissions to say, look, it's the policy says that if over 100,000 rand has been mismanaged in a school, the department must open up a criminal case against the perpetrator. How many of these cases have been opened? And so far, I don't think there's any that has been opened. Each and every government employee has got what we call a personal number. So in terms of having a personal number, it means if I do corruption in Gauteng, I cannot be fired here and go work in Limpopo. And we see that happen a lot in the system. So we want to say, how do you stop the perpetrator of corruption from moving from a government department to the municipality? Yes. But while we're doing that, we are educating people on the ground, because education is key. So we feel that if we don't educate and provide toolkits for parents, for school governing bodies, for teachers, for learners who are serving on the school governing body, we are not going to win the battle.
So our time is up. Let's just a few tips to principals on how to deal with this. First is, don't get involved in it yourself. Second, a strong corporate body. A governing body, I would think.
Absolutely.
What
so
else?
The strong SGB, that's the, you know, for a principal to understand how to engage the community and the parent body is very important for how to run a school well. But I think we have to state again and again that principals must have a very clear sense of their ethical responsibility. It's an ethical role being a school leader, and making sure that their focus is on that every child is learning, that every child can read, that every child is in school, and that every teacher is in class on time. Because corrupt practices doesn't just have to be about money. You know, there can be all kinds of other unprofessional and unacceptable practices in schools. So ensuring that principals are leading and leading the integrity management in their schools is absolutely vital.
Well, in terms of the money side, there are tried and tested auditing principles that's always available. That's quite easy to pick up anything like that. So school principals, if they listen, please make sure the auditing principles are followed. That's when you skip these things, you say you don't need that signature, or you can just give us a signature without knowing what the contents are. These are basic, universal guiding principles as well.
That's right. Ronald Menwe from Corruption Watch, final word, 20 seconds on what principals can do to get rid of this. Anything you want to add?
Well, principals must act in an integral way in managing schools' funds. But my message is mainly to whistleblowers. It's not easy. There's a lot of challenges in reporting corruption. There'll be a lot of victimization. Get in touch with organizations like Corruption Watch on how to blow the whistle, because that's very important. There are many others who are doing the kind of job that we're doing, like ODEC in Cape Town. They will assist you and give you the process of how to report corruption. And when you suffer occupational detriment, which is victimization, what should we do? But if you go to our website, you will find all our contact details on how to report corruption. Thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Barbara Dale Jones, thank you for organizing.
Thanks,
and Louis Groenewald in the studio. We look forward to being with you next week again. That is the Leadership Transformation Platform from 12 to 3 every Monday. Have a great week.
The Leadership Platform was brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company.
This is CliffCentral.com.